What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, the best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Wrap. Sam Lubman here with Dan Devone. Morning after a brutal 8-1 loss by at the hands of the Mets for the San Francisco Giants. And some big news broke yesterday, Dan, and that was the news that Landon Roop will be placed on the 15-day injured list with some elbow inflammation. The expectation is that the Giants did catch it early enough that will not linger around. We'll get to that in a sec. But first, I want to go out to the lines, 888-957-9570. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We're going to go to one of our favorites, Alex in Atlanta. Alex, how are we doing today, our night of numbers?
Well, gentlemen, look, this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion, but I am where I was Monday morning when I called into the station Tuesday morning after a brutal loss to the Braves. And that is, I think you look to move off some players at the deadline. I don't think you add. The main reason is, you guys have talked about it ad nauseum, I think you have too many needs right now that one trade deadline period is going to fill for you. And you don't have a ton of assets that you can make appealing in trades at the moment to a lot of teams around the league. The ones you do have, I'm going to mention here in a second, but I think there are too many holes to try to fill. You're battling the injury bug at the wrong time. You're battling a ton of inconsistency with the offense pretty much all season. At this point, I think you do have to look at the offseason where you retool and add to this team and accept that maybe it's time to move off some players at the deadline if you can. I think you look to move off a Wilmer Flores or a Mike Yastrzemski, if not both, because there are playoff teams that would look at situational hitters right now. Both of those players are on expiring contracts. Yaz is an above-average defensive outfielder, and that's a need for some playoff teams as well. And I think you do have to listen to offers for Robbie Ray. The reason I mention that is because he's only got 1 year left on his deal after this season. He is going to be 34 next year. This is probably the highest value he has right now as an asset on your team. And I think you do have to consider, look, you have so many holes in your starting rotation right now that you're not going to be able to fix at the trade deadline. Starting pitching is at a premium. I think you take advantage of that.
Hold on, Alex.
And you try to move Robbie Ray.
Alex, hold up here. You say there's too many holes here. I mean, I know this team definitely has needs, but when you say there's too many holes, what are the too many holes that outside of starting pitching that you're concerned about right now?
Well, I mean, again, there's no rational way, as Dan mentioned, to explain the fact that you're struggling at so many places on offense. I think you do have some players who are miscast defensively right now. Wilmer Flores is a great example of that. I don't think he's an everyday first baseman. I know we've been using Dom Smith, and I don't know if he's a long-term answer, but if you're going to move Rafi Devers there, ideally you put someone with a better, more consistent bat at the DH role. And I don't think that's Wilmer, so I would move off of him. I think you don't have a true cleanup hitter in this lineup right now. I think you have guys like Casey Schmidt, who I like as a hitter, but he's miscast at second base defensively. You have Elliot Ramos right now, who's struggling in the outfield. You have too many things that you have to make up for in one trade deadline, or have to try to fix in one trade deadline, that I think it's better to try to move off pieces right now and look to 2026.
Well, let's say you move off Robbie Ray. What does that mean then for 2026? Because then you have Logan Webb and you do have Landon Root, but then you got a lot of question marks after that. I mean, Robbie Ray, I mean, he's not just important for this year. He's important for next year too. So, I mean, if you're going to move off a guy like him, I mean, doesn't that kind of set you back for next year a little bit?
Well, that's true. There's a possibility of that. But there's also the possibility that that Hayden Birdsong finds himself down in AAA and improves over the offseason, improves in spring training next season, and you can turn him into a legitimate starter. I'm not saying a number two, but potentially maybe a number three and four, and you look for a number two in free agency when the value is a little lower.
Awesome. Good stuff, Alex. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it there. So Alex thinks the Giants would sell. I respectfully disagree on that one.
The take, though.
Yeah, no, Alex always has well thought out takes. That's why he's the knight of numbers. He does something statistical for his job. So he's a big number cruncher, that guy. And we love having him on. He's one of our premier roasters. But no, I don't think this team's in a position where they are going to sell. I do understand the appeal of moving off of Yastrzemski and moving off of Wilmer Flores. You're not getting anything back significant for them. You're getting a lottery ticket back, if anything.
Rearranging the deck chairs.
Exactly. I mean, if you're moving off of a Yastrzemski, if you're moving off of a Flores, you're doing so because you just don't want anyone there taking playing time away from Luis Matos. You're doing that because maybe you're doing that because you want to bring Bryce Eldridge up and have him get some time at first base without Wilmer Flores getting in the way there. So a move like that, it's not so much to bring someone in as it is to create more opportunity for someone else. So that's what those moves would be.
Maybe I misunderstood. I just needed some clarification from stats, Alex, out there in Atlanta. He wants the Giants to sell for prospects. Is that it? What is it that what's the plan here? Maybe I miss. Understood.
Well, again, like I said, if you're selling Yaz and Flores, you're doing it to open spots up. Robbie Ray might be able to net you something. I don't. Again, a starting pitcher who is, and he's not on the Cy Young shortlist, but he is an All Star. He's been one of the elite starting pitchers in the league for a lot of teams. He would be a great number
two.
So
prospects, you're talking about getting.
Yeah,
we're
Robbie
talking about
Ray,
because when you sell, typically you're looking to build for the future by getting prospects. We're talking about getting some potential assets that can come to fruition
Giants,
3 to 5 years from now.
And that's kind of where I hesitate on trading Robbie Ray, because if I'm going to trade Robbie Ray, I want someone who can help me next year, because this team is a win now team based on how they're constructed, based on the moves that have been made, and based on the fact that Buster Posey's basically said this team is trying to win right now. So that all makes me think that the goal is to win right now as well as try and win next year. And then, Dan, you got a lot of uncertainty after that because, you know, we have labor issues going on. There is a CBA that's expiring at the end of 26, and relations between the Players Association and Major League Baseball are at an absolute nadir right now, which is to say that we might have a work stoppage in the 2027. Yeah, it is. We might have a work stoppage. It could wipe out a chunk of the season. It could wipe out all of the season. And so you got this year and next year are guaranteed right now. I think if you're the Giants, you got to try and maximize that window, because I'm not sure what this league and what this team is going to be looking like coming out on the other side of 2027.
Yeah, and who cares? I mean, I know you should care, but as a fan...
Well, as a fan, I don't care. Fan, you shouldn't care, but if you're Buster Posey and if you're the Giants, these are the real questions you got to be asking yourselves here.
Yeah, but I think Buster Posey's telling everybody that I didn't come out of retirement, semi-retirement, or living in Atlanta to rebuild and look for 3 years from now. It's all about right now. It's a plug-and-play team, and it's about winning today. It's about winning tomorrow. It's about beating the Mets today and getting into the postseason and getting back to that elusive World Series. So that's the mode operandi, if you will. So I can't you know, I'm one of those fans that's just, you know, what happened yesterday and what's going to happen today in terms of 2027, like my head explodes. I have no idea if any of us will be here in 2027. I have no idea, what, you know, but I think that that's the outlook is about winning today. And I don't see how anybody could look at this Giants team and say that they're not built to win in 2025 and look to advance in the postseason right now. There's nothing about that team that would say otherwise, unless I'm misinterpreting something here.
Well, I mean, you're basically, if they're going to be that team, you basically need them to play a brand of baseball that they haven't played.
Well, no, that's up to the play. Yeah. You know, I read this past week. At some point, Buster Posey just says, hey, listen, man, I'll get you players, but at some point, it's on you, Pod Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
It's on you, Rafi Devers. It's on you, Willie W. You have to hit the damn baseball. You can't keep looking to me and saying, well, what are we going to do? Go get us the savior. Take us to the promised land.
No,
Buster Posey's like, I don't play anymore.
He kind of did that already. And that's where I think Buster Posey is still not going to sell, because Buster's guy, he stands by his words. When he says, I trust the coaches, he's going to give Bob that option. When he says it's time to go and he's trying to fire up the players, then he'll go out and make the move to bring in Rafi Devers. Like, Buster's a guy who, when he says something, he stands by what he says. And when I see when Buster's saying, you know, we're in the memory-making business, which was part of this show's open, it just, you don't make memories by not making the playoffs. And I think Buster knows that this team has not been to the playoffs in 3 years now. The one playoff appearance they have had in the last 8 years, most people have kind of washed from their memories because we want to pretend that 2021 never happened for some reason. This is a team that I think just desperately needs to make the playoffs. Buster Posey is the guy who desperately wants to see this team in the playoffs. And I just have a hard time seeing him backing down at this point in the year, especially when he knows that the right deal could galvanize this team and unlock that next level out of them down the stretch here, especially at a time when you do see your bats getting hot and when you do trust that your pitchers will get off of this cold streak that they're on. Again, I know it's crazy to say this based on how this team is playing right now, and if they had won 8-1 last night, it would have been a lot easier to say this, but there is still, as you said, I believe there is a better baseball team within this team that is just waiting to be unlocked right now. We've seen flashes of it. We're getting close to it. They just need that one little piece in the rotation to kind of tie things together and try and make a run here. I want to see this team make a run. Like Buster has said, like, I don't know why you're not always trying to make, why you're not always trying to win. Like, that should always be the goal. And so, yeah, I can't see him with that mentality just being like, you know what? I'm going to take a step back this first year, punt on making the playoffs, and regroup this offseason. That's just not a mentality I see Buster having.
Well, let me just ask you this. Let's just say that he can't pull the trigger for that veteran pitcher or improve the team at the deadline. Let's just say he gets outbid. He just doesn't have enough assets. That's not on Buster. At some point, that's on you, Melvin. That's on you, Adamas. That's on you, Chapman. Brian Sabin used to say this. Hey, listen, man, I can only do so much. At some point, you have to produce, okay? I got you, Devers, for crying out loud. So, Devers, be that guy that we're giving upwards to $300 million for the next 9 years. At some point, you have got to deliver. You can't continually look at Buster Posey and say, hey, go get us help. Well, he's done that. And so, we're at that fork in the road now where, yeah, you can. They need help, but you can't put all this on Buster Posey saying, "Go find the magic seeds," because he got you Adamas, you re-signed Chapman. You know, you look pretty good.
He's done a lot already.
You got Devers. You just signed Jung-Hoo Lee. Elliot Ramos is promising. So play baseball.
Yeah,
win some damn games.
And this is where Dan, I've been very vocal on not blaming the coaches this year. And this is where I start to kind of side-eye the coaches a little bit. Like, I do believe, yeah, it is on the players. The players have to play. And I know Alex in Atlanta, he's been very adamant that Pat Burrell is the issue that needs to be taken care of here. And, again, I've watched Burrell work with these players. I like how he works with these players. Again, I love watching him stand behind the cage and barking out, all right, 2-2 count, and there's a runner on second. Like, he's so good at putting these mindsets into these players. But, you know, there's been a couple times this year, Dan, where I see Pat say in pregame, he says that situation to a hitter, and then that hitter comes up in the game in that situation, and it's like, whatever you were working on in the cage, you just completely forgot about it. It's hard for me to blame the coaches there. That said, though, the players got to elevate their game. And at some point, it's like, don't you want to elevate your game for your coach? Like, don't you want to play a little bit harder for Bob Melvin? You know, we used to always joke on the morning
roast. Today's players play for themselves.
Well, see, we had a joke on the morning roast a year ago that, you know, as the Warriors are going to the final stretch there, they had a game against the Blazers in that last week of the year. And we're like, well, that's an easy win. And Bonte, you know, says, well, I don't know. They're going to be playing hard for Chauncey Billups. That could be a tough game. And we joked about it, you know, the win one for Chauncey game. That game ends up coming up, you know, Warriors at Blazers. I think it was like the second or third to last game of the year. It was a tough game. The Warriors won, but it was not easy. So, yeah, some guys, sometimes you know, a team will play hard for their coach, or sometimes a team will just be a difficult one to get. But I do think a similar principle is here. These guys, they got to like playing for Bob Melvin. And if these guys aren't elevating their game, if they're not making these adjustments that the coaching staff is asking them to make, my question is, well, why is that? It, at some point, I feel like that becomes a reflection of the coaching staff.
You know what? I'm with you there. And just to get back to why I don't buy into players playing for coaches or win one for the team, I know that goes against everything we think. It's that they're on personal contracts, and it's so cutthroat, especially when it gets to the NFL. You're taking care of yourself and your family at the end of the day. And the reason why you don't necessarily buy into, well, let me just sacrifice, or I want to win for the team or win for the manager, because at the end of the day, the team is also just looking out for themselves. Because should you slip a little bit, you as a player, should your numbers decrease a little bit, the team's not like, well, you know, let's hang on to this particular player because he's a good guy. No. The bottom line is the
good
bottom
vibes
line.
Guy. Yeah.
The bottom line is the bottom line. We'll move off on you as quick as we got you, okay? Especially in the NFL. So the culture that's been created in professional sports, unfortunately, it's a bit selfish. Players are about themselves. Well, they'll certainly want to win games, but in terms of taking it to the point where I want to win for the manager, or I'm willing to sacrifice for the good of the team, I think that's sort of yesterday.
You don't believe in that anymore?
No. I mean, you want to win. The Giants, yeah. You buy in as a group that you want to win. You get along with this camaraderie. But in terms of winning for the manager, you're just knocking on the wrong door when it comes to that.
See, I still think there's a little bit of that. I do think there is some of that with this team. I do think this team last year, I think, bought into Bob Melvin. I don't know if that – I assume that is the case this year. But based on the performance I'm seeing, yeah, maybe it is kind of becoming more of that case there. But – and again, that is though where I do start to look at the manager, where it's just like, you got to find a way to inspire more buy-in from your players.
Yeah, I'm with you there. See, I've never been a big Bob Melvin guy. So
yeah.
I think that game on Monday night, last Monday rather, against Atlanta,
yeah.
where they
made every single mistake possible.
That to me, that's a manager's fault. Like, and I know you can blame Elliot Ramos. You can talk about the confusion with Jung-Hoo Lee. But that's on you. You don't have your team prepared to play. And these are repetitive mistakes. And so you can't fire the team. And I'm not saying get rid of Bob Melvin, but I don't think that he can withstand a couple of more games like that. Like, to me, when you look at this team, the more we sit here and saying, hey, man, Sam, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this is a team that has a good lineup. Why the hell aren't they winning?
All the pieces are there. Yeah, all the signs are there.
And you're making these sort of mistakes. A lot of it is just simply the guy in charge is, and a lot of this is intangibles. It's just the players are not coming to the park focused, or you need to make a change for the sake of making a change and bring somebody in there, whether it's younger, that re-energizes this team so that they come to the park every single day and they're fully realizing their capabilities. Because what happens, more often than not, it's not as though Bob Melvin got stupid overnight. He's still, in terms of X's and O's and schematics, he knows what the hell is going on. But when you lose that chemistry and your team doesn't, quote-unquote, respect you or is not coming in mentally prepared, it's time for him to go. And I know that sounds really cutthroat because people love Bob Melvin, but when you see games like that of last Monday, that to me, it's a cause and effect with you being the team and your manager.
The word that kind of came up a little bit on Tuesday morning, Dan, was accountability. Where is the accountability? When I see guys making the same boneheaded mistakes in the field, when I see Ramos constantly going in on balls that he should be going out on, and when I see him constantly, I have never seen a player drop the ball while exchanging it from his glove to his hand as much as I've seen Ramos do it this year. When I see, again, I'm not just trying to pick on Ramos. There's a lot of guys.
But the running mistakes.
The base running mistakes. Oh, everyone's made the base running mistakes, and including Elliot Ramos. And again, I'm not trying to pick on Ramos. You've seen Jung Hoo Lee, too.
I don't think Brett Wisely's ever seen a stop sign that he's liked.
No. He's on base like four times a year, so he's not like he really knows what to do there. But Jung Hoo Lee, you're seeing it. He's not adjusting to those outside pitches. When you see guys making these mental mistakes over and over and over again, it's like at some point you got to stop burning your hand on the hot stove. And that's where I do. Again, I look at the manager in that situation. How are you holding these guys accountable? How are you holding their feet to the fire over these mistakes and putting them in a situation where they have no choice but to work on these issues? And I don't know exactly what the solution are for those are, but like you got to be doing something there, because when it's the same things over and over and over and over again, that tells me that your players are A, tuning you out, or B, you're just not holding your players accountable enough. Either way, it's an unacceptable situation.
Yeah, I remember Mike Holmgren once told me this, and Bill Walsh also.
Just had Mike Holmgren on the Morning Roast the other day, actually.
They talked about, it's not as though Bob Melvin, again, is not a smart guy. It's just like when your message isn't resonating anymore, and it becomes stale. And Holmgren said, when you've been someplace, and he hasn't been there very long, talking about Bob Melvin, but when you've been in baseball, I guess, for a long period of time, Holmgren said, when I was a coach for 10 years in Seattle, it's sort of time for me to go. It's not as though I got stupid. It's just that my message isn't resonating.
The voice gets stale.
It's not hitting home as it once did. Mm-hmm. And the same with Bill Walsh, the genius. After 10 years, he said, it's time when you're going down the freeway to roll down the window and get some fresh air in.
And again, two years into Bob's tenure, I think it's a little early for that. But I do think, though, because what's even more interesting is one of the leaders in this clubhouse is Matt Chapman, who is a Bob Melvin guy. He came up under Bob Melvin. So it should not be that hard to fall in behind Bob Melvin, because Matt Chapman is a guy that guys in this clubhouse will fall in behind. Matt Chapman, Willie Adames are just total best bros on this team. If they're in behind Bob Melvin, you would think the rest of the clubhouse is falling in behind Bob Melvin, none of these things are adding up, though, which is what's crazy. You have guys who should be buying, by all intents and purposes, should be buying into Bob Melvin, but the performance suggests that they're not. You have all these guys that should be hitting well, but what we're seeing on the field is that they're not, even though they're all hitting well over 300 over the last several games, but they're not doing it in a row. Nothing about this team makes sense. Nothing about what's working with this team makes sense. Nothing about what doesn't work with this team makes sense. It's just, it's so vexing right now.
And you know what you're describing more often than not is that there's something amiss that we can't see. Mm-hmm. And that's usually a disconnect. This isn't
when you can't put your finger on anymore, there's something intangible going on behind the scenes.
And I'll take it a step further. There's usually a disconnect with the manager and the players. And I'm not saying that the players are chirping because they don't like Bob Melvin, but there's something that's not connecting under the hood there. And usually when you're talking about the inner workings of a team, it usually starts at the top.
Yeah, and Buster has taken the blame for the slow, the issues already on this team already. He has said, if you're going to point anyone, point fingers at me. I built the team. And that's his way of kind of put things on the players. I kind of wonder, this is going in the realm of hot take territory here. This is just a random hot take thought. I don't have any real intel or anything like this that would suggest this is true. I'm just going to throw out this wild hypothetical here.
You just described the premise of like every YouTuber and
basically,
basically every show in America.
I'm going to go full first take here and just say something baseless with no evidence to back it here.
You're hired.
There you go. But what I'm kind of wondering is so much emphasis, especially back in May, was put on it's the players that have to be better. It's on the players. Buster Posey called out the players. It's time to go. He, put his faith behind the coaching staff, not the players. I wonder if there's a part of me that wonders is all the emphasis that was put on, no, it's the players that have to be better. It's the players that have to do this. It's the players that have to do that. There was a little too much of that to a point where it irritated the players maybe a little bit. And maybe that created a bit of a schism, so to speak, between the players and the coaches in the front office, where the players think, hey, we're going out here and doing the best we can to get our numbers. We've seen Adamas. He's coming around getting his numbers. Chapman's getting his numbers. Like, we got guys who are working to put the work in to get it done. But what about, you know, what is the accountability on the coaching staff on getting us ready and putting us in a position to succeed? Again, not saying this is the case, but I've got to be curious again, because these are human beings in there. If there is a level of just like, well, hold on, we're trying to do our job. What about you guys? Where's the blame on your end? And that, again, a theory, a thought, a take that I'm throwing out there. I don't know if that sounds like something that has any merit, but I do wonder if there is some sort of disconnect there. I haven't sensed any of it from what I've been around this team, but there's also a lot from this team that I don't see that I'm not around. So there could be things that I'm missing that could buy in. I don't know. Do I sound too much of a tinfoil crackpot when I say that? Or,
well, I would just say, as a player, if you're mired in a slump and you're not performing, they'll always interpret that as that's on me. You can point fingers at coaching, but you know you're going to look silly if you do publicly. And so this just becomes, at the end of the day, if a player is not performing, especially if you're Jung-Hoo Lee and you're getting rewarded with a healthy contract, or if you're Rothy Devers and you're going in that, you know, that initial month slide, the first month you're with the San Francisco Giants, there's only one way to sort of explain that away, and that's to internalize and saying that's on me. I don't know if there's any, other way to interpret when a player is not going well, to blame anybody other than themselves. Mm-hmm. Certainly not the coaching.
Well, yeah, there is a level of just, you got to own up to your mistakes. And so, yeah, I would hope, again, that's what I was throwing out, and I put as many qualifiers on it as I did to showcase how not serious that theory should be taken. But it is something that, I'm going to be honest, I might be keeping an eye on now in terms of the rest of the year, is just, what is this dynamic going to be like in the clubhouse between the players and the coaching staff? Because, again, Dan, like, it's the old Sherlock Holmes quote, you know, when you've eliminated, you know, all but the impossible, what's ever left has to be the reason or something like that. I might just butcher the quote there, but it's, we're banging our heads to the wall trying to figure out what the issue with this team is. We refuse to believe that these hitters are just bad. We refuse to believe that the pitchers are just bad. And they do have track records. And so it's like we have to look for a reason somewhere. We've eliminated all the logical reasons. So now we got to go into the illogical reasons. And that's kind of where this is taking us here. We are up against it. We got to get to break because we got to talk to George Contos on the other side. Be curious to see what he thinks of the Giants pitching situation. He was a pitcher himself back in the day when he was winning a World Series with the Giants. So we'll talk to the world champ next. And that is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
All right.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
We are back on the wrap here. Sam Lubman along with Dan Devone. Zach Green doing a hell of a job pushing the buttons behind the scenes today. Good job to you, Zach. And we are going to head out to the River Islands guest line. We got George Kontos, former reliever for the Giants, World Series champ, current host of Giants pre- and post-game on NBC. So again, he joins us on the River Islands guest line. George, how are you doing this morning?
Fellas, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How about yourselves?
Doing as well as you can be the morning after an 8-1 drubbing like that. And George, what made last night really tough was watching Logan Webb for the third start in a row get hit really, really hard. This is not something that Logan usually does. He's usually good at limiting that hard contact, but he had 8 hits last night. There were 104 or more off the bat. Just what were you seeing from Logan Webb last night, and just what have you been seeing from him over these last couple starts for him on the mound?
You know, it's unfortunate when you get so expected to seeing your ace go out there and just dominate every single time he toes the rubber every fifth day, that when you have these little bit of lulls, it raises eyebrows a little bit more than it should. And Logan Webb obviously is a guy who expects the highest of results from himself. So I think just when you look at kind of what his struggles have been the last few starts, it's kind of just getting ahead of guys, staying down in the zone, and of trying to avoid those pitches that leak over the middle. I mean, you know, Logan is a guy who everyone knows when they step in the batter's box what his fantastic repertoire looks like, what he goes to in the jam, and he's done a really good job this year of protecting that changeup with his cutter and his breaking ball and the addition of a few other pitches where he keeps evolving. But you know, sometimes when you get into a jam, you go back to Old Faithful, and when guys are looking for it, it's a little bit less effective.
Hey, George, let's talk about the back end of that rotation, and namely one Hayden Birdsong. And maybe you can talk me down off the trees here, because that I put sort of an asterisk next to, and it's a little scary because it's not necessarily that he needs to get his confidence back. We saw Duvall go down last year, and he needs to work on some mechanics or what have you. But when you're missing and you're having issues with control like he was, and I don't mean to throw words like or names like Rick and Keel, but do you see that there could be the potential that it's not necessarily the fundamentals of what it is that he's doing, but there might be the mental block? And once it gets between your ears, it gets really dangerous. Could you see potentially that this is something that's a lot larger because he has to clear some mental hurdles in terms of locating the plate again?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the things that have caused Hayden Birdsong to struggle, in my opinion, from what I've watched, are very much mental. I mean, you get a little bit into that bad mental capacity where you're having a hard time throwing a strike, then you start aiming the ball and your delivery looks like it's kind of in slow motion or underwater, and that's kind of the things that we were seeing. I mean, it's been a little bit tough for him ever since he had that little stretch in Arizona where he threw those 10 straight balls, and on the 11th he gave up that 3-run homer. It seems like that kind of just has been instilled in his memory a little bit, unfortunately. And look, the mental stuff is this game is so much more a mental game than a physical game. There's a lot of guys that have the ability, whether you're on the hitting side or on the pitching side, to play at the major league level because of tools. But what allows guys to get to the big leagues and stay there for a long period of time is putting in the work and having a good routine and having a really good mental way of kind of getting through the ebbs and flows of a season. And, you know, what you have to remember about Hayden Birdsong is he's still an incredibly young kid, and he came up last year, and there were some moments in each of his first four or five starts where the wheels could have fallen off, but he was able to work through some of those outings and make big pitches, and I really liked what I saw out of him last year. And it's just unfortunate this year that the mental part of it has just kind of really built up, and he hasn't been able to get over the hump. So hopefully he can go down a sack and really have some good, confident games down there where he gets ahead of guys and really starts believing in his stuff again and his ability to throw strikes, because when he's at his best, he's incredibly hard to hit.
Yeah, George. And then George Contos here joining us on the River Islands guest line here on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. George, last night we got some news that broke. Landon Roop going on the IL, the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation. Landon Roop chatted with us last night. He seems pretty confident that, you know, he's not going to miss a ton of time for this. The Giants feel very optimistic they caught it early here. But when you see a headline like that, elbow inflammation in a young pitcher who is approaching his professional career high in innings, what kind of goes through your head when you hear news like that? And is this a situation where just by, you know, they did catch it early, does that kind of give optimism that it won't devolve into a worse health issue for Landon's elbow?
I think there should be this should be viewed incredibly optimistic. I mean, I saw the report where the MRI came back clean. It was just a little bit of inflammation. And look, he's thrown 101 innings so far this year, and his career high at any level is 107. So while that's something that a lot of people might tend to focus on, that's not something that I'm really worried about, just because he has the ability to go 30, 40, 50 more. And at least this is just my perception, but I think that he can go further than his innings limit, and I don't think it'd be a huge deal for him. I mean, if he's going to, you know, get 170, 180 innings, yes, that's a red flag. They would never let him get that far. But if he goes 30, 40 past, that is how you build guys up year after year to ultimately reach that possibility of throwing 180 to 200 innings. But these innings are a lot different than he's ever thrown in his entire career. I mean, he broke out of camp as the number five starter in the rotation. These innings have a lot more meaning behind them because they're at the major league level, and this team is trying to fight to get to the postseason and to win another World Series. And there's a lot of meaning behind every time he takes the mound every fifth day. But it's the timing of it is obviously incredibly unfortunate. He's been pitching so well. The leaps and bounds he's made from the beginning of this season to how he's been pitching lately before he just went on the IL was really fun to watch and nice to see his maturation as a starting pitcher at this level. But like you said, I mean, it's just a little inflammation. Hopefully it's the minimum stay on the IL and he can get himself back feeling the way that he was and continuing to help this team down the stretch in August and September and October.
George, during at any point in your playing career, did you ever deal with elbow inflammation? And if you did, like, what does that feel like? What does a pitcher going through elbow inflammation like that, like, what is that like for a pitcher?
Yeah, actually, I did have Tommy John, but that was not at the major league level. I had Tommy John in 2009 when I was still in AAA as a starter with the Yankees, and that process went very smoothly. I came back, and then the only other injury I had ever had in my career was in 2016. Coming out of spring training, I had a little bit of a barky elbow. And right there in your elbow where everything kind of connects, you have a few things that are right there. You have your UCL, obviously. You have your flexor tendon and your flexor mass, and then everything kind of attaches right there at that bone, at that joint. So in 2016, in April, I had a little bit of flexor tendonitis, and it got to the point where, you know, in the first three or four series or that we played in, I was able to just kind of get by and rest it. But those things need rest because you continue, especially as a reliever, you continue to go out there and get it going and activated. And throwing is obviously a very regular part of your job. When you're in the bullpen, you could pitch 2-3 days in a row. You can pitch, you know, 5 out of 7, however it may go. And every time that you reactivate that, it got a little worse. And I remember I had my last outing before I finally said something to Dave Greschner was in LA. I came in, I warmed up in the bullpen, and it was manageable. But once you get into the game and that extra 10% gear kicks in with the lights and the fans and facing a real hitter, that first pitch I threw, I really felt it. And thankfully, Justin Turner swung at the first pitch. It was a slider. He popped it up to end the inning. And I came in and I just said, I think there's something going on. And luckily, it was just a little bit of inflammation again. And I only missed about 14 or 15 days and I was back in action. But it's one of those things where you really got to look out for yourself because A, it's your career, and B, you're trying to help your team win. And if you go and get yourself hurt for an extended period of time, it's no good for anybody involved. So it's good to take care of yourself because ultimately you got to be going out there as a reliever as often as the phone rings or as a starter every fifth day to help your team win.
Help us explain away the offense and more precisely the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position because I can't do it anymore. It makes no sense. I mean, these are obviously players with, they have history, they have proven track record with the Adamases and the Devers and Chat.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
And yet time and time again, and more often than not, these good hitters, especially at home, when there's an opportunity to drive in runs, they come up short. Again, I've run out of words to try and put my arms around it and explain it away. What do you think, George? What's going on with this team from an offensive standpoint?
Well, I think you've just kind of spoken every Giants fan and everybody who watches Giants baseball's thoughts on that matter, obviously. I mean, these guys are way too good to have these types of struggles with runners in scoring position. You know, I agree with you, but, you know, they are very aware in that clubhouse of their struggles in that regard. We are all talking about it all the time. So there is, obviously is a little bit more pressure in those situations. That's not an excuse by any means. I feel like if you ask anybody in that locker room that's in the lineup every night, they're going to say, yeah, we need to do a better job with runners in scoring position. But I think it's just something that it might be a little bit of a mental thing where they're very aware of how they've been doing with runners in scoring position. And when you get into those situations, a lot of the times, especially when you're tense, you don't swing as freely and you don't pick as good of pitches to hit and you press and you kind of expand your zones. And I think all of the above is what we've been seeing a little bit when it comes time in those crunch time situations with runners in scoring position.
George, you got George Contos here joining us on the River Islands guest line, a former Giants reliever, 2012 World Series champ, and part of the pre- and post-game show on NBC Sports Bay Area. George, it is the trade deadline this week. Giants are four games above 500 now, and it seems like the last couple years we've come into the deadline where it's the Giants are kind of playing this game of show us why there should be a player added to this team. When you look at this team right now, do you see a team where, like Buster, do you expect Buster to kind of be aggressive at this trade deadline, or is this a team where, you know, maybe they make a small move on the margins and they just point at Rafi Devers as the big deadline acquisition?
No, I definitely think that Buster's going to be bullish on this trade deadline. I mean, when you look at the way that things sit right now, obviously you're seven games behind the Dodgers, which may seem like a lot, but a good week of baseball changes that in an absolute heartbeat. And you're one game behind the Padres for that last wild card spot. So, you know, if you look at just the recent performance, the team coming out of the All-Star break has gone 2-6 now with that loss to the Mets last night, but you know, a good week of baseball and we're in a totally good different situation. So I think that Buster's going to be very bullish, looking to add to really help this team finish strongly in the last 60 games of the season.
And I don't mean to potentially put you on the spot here, but are there any names you've seen floating around on the trade market that you think would just that guy would look great wearing orange and black?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's always those names that are starting to pop up. I mean, you look at the teams that are going to be sellers. I mean, a couple names on the market that I think would fit really nicely, especially with kind of what's been going on with the Giants rotation lately. If you were going to look to upgrade the rotation, a guy that you obviously would love to have would be somebody like Sandy Alcantara. Another guy from the Miami Marlins is his buddy Edward Cabrera. Both guys who are having really, really good seasons. Not sure that you would see an intra-division trade, but if the Diamondbacks were going to be sellers, Merrill Kelly is a guy that I've always really liked watching him pitch, and he's a guy in big situations who's a gamer. You know, the Pittsburgh Pirates are coming into town. Mitch Keller, he could be a guy that they move at the deadline. A guy like Seth Lugo from the Kansas City Royals, I could see him being a nice fit. Guys that give just versatility to the rotation. And then you have, obviously, at the end of September and into October, you can never have enough bullpen arms. You can never have too many guys at the end of that bullpen. We saw it on the two championship teams that I was on in 2012 and 2014, just how important those bullpen guys are. And then we unfortunately saw it again in 2016 with the kind of closer by committee, or excuse me, 2016, the closer by committee situation where kind of game four against the Cubs didn't quite go our way. So you see how important those bullpen guys are. So I would imagine you can never have enough depth at the back end of that bullpen when you're making a run in September and October. But as far as the offense, I mean, I think that if these guys get all firing together at the same time, this offense could do a lot of damage. I mean, we saw them in Atlanta just put up 5, 9, and 9. And unfortunately, you lost that first one just with the kind of explosion of runs in that first inning against Hayden Birdsong. But the offense obviously has the capability of going out there and putting up a number of runs.
All right, then last one here, George. And I'm sorry, I totally shorted you a championship. 2012 and 2014 World Series champion George Contos joining us on the River Islands guest line. My last question here for you, George, is you mentioned the bullpen here. And a guy out of the bullpen who's had a really rough year this year is Ryan Walker. And he's a guy I've gotten to know him. I like him a lot. I root for him a lot. He was really good for this team the last 2 years. It's been a real struggle for him this year. His mechanics, obviously, have to be very specific with how he throws. But I'm just curious for you. You're a reliever. When relievers struggle throughout a season like Ryan Walker has, how difficult is it, both mentally and, I guess, physically, to figure out a way to right the ship and get things going again? Because with starters, you have a set, you know, every 5 days you have an opportunity. With relievers, though, it's kind of, you know, you're pitching today, you're pitching tomorrow, then you got a couple days off. There's not as much consistency there. How difficult is it for a reliever in a situation like Ryan Walker's, is it to, you know, stop the bleeding so much, right the ship, and kind of get back to being the pitcher that we saw him be the last 2 years?
Yeah, it is difficult, especially when you're one of those guys that their name can be called any day, right? And just to kind of reiterate what you said at the beginning of that, Walk is I've gotten to know him very well as well over the last several years, and he's such a great guy. And I've had these conversations with him one-on-one several times where, you know, he said, he goes, I have a very unique way of throwing, and the further across your body that you throw, the more on time your delivery has to be. And obviously last year when he assumed the closer role, he caught the lightning in the bottle, and he was as dominant as any pitcher in the big leagues. And he's even said it. He goes, when you're off a little bit, it makes a very big difference. When you're off a little bit over the rubber or when your foot lands, the miss is maximized 60 feet, 6 inches away, especially with his release point and the amount of, you know, spin and sling that he has in his delivery. And when he's rolling right, you see those 97, 98 mile an hour fastballs that just kind of get on the hitters with that late, late dive at the end. And you see that slider that starts kind of middle away, and it has that really good horizontal runoff. All the right-handed hitters run out of bat when they're attempting to swing at it. And if you're not on time, it's just not the same. The stuff just comes out not as crisp. And when he's opening up that front shoulder a little early, the hitter can see the ball much earlier. So he's been fighting that a little bit, and it's been incredibly frustrating. But the way that you got to continue to bounce back is, and you know, Boach, I played for Boach, obviously, my all six seasons that I was with the Giants, Boach was the guy at the helm, and there's nobody better, in my opinion. But if you had a rough outing, he would get you out back on the horse as fast as possible, because he did not want you to sit on a bad outing, because the longer that you wait to get back on the mound, you just get to sit there and think about that last outing that you had that did not go very well. So, you know, Boach would, if I had a rough outing, gave up a couple runs or a homer or gave up a lead or something like that, I'd be walking out of the ballpark and he's like, you know, Georgie, I'm going to get you back out there tomorrow. I'm going to find a spot for you, because he wanted you to get back on the horse, to right the ship, to get yourself back in that good mental space. So that's kind of the way that you have to get out of it. When you're having those outings that don't go your way, you want to get back on the horse as fast as you can, and you want to get up there and put a goose egg on the board so you can get that confidence back. And you know, the longer you struggle, obviously, the harder it is to get yourself out of those holes, because the mental part of this game, as we mentioned earlier with Hayden Birdsong, it's so much more important than the physical. You want to be physically ready to go. You want to have your routines, and you want to have give yourself the best ability to go out there and succeed in between the white lines. But the mental part of this game, that's what makes people, you know, a big leaguers for a year or two versus 5 years versus 10 years, guys who can overcome adversity and kind of turn the page quickly. All those things are what keep you around this game for a long time. And in regards to Ryan Walker, he's a guy that works incredibly hard, and I think mentally he'll be just fine. And he'll get himself out of this, and he's going to be a really big piece in the coming months and in October for this ball club making a run.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we see how big of an impact he made last year, and it would almost be like a deadline acquisition in its own right if we can get the old Ryan Walker back. George, so great to have you on, man. Thank you very much for joining the Wrap.
I appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks a lot. That was George Contos, the two-time World Series champion on the 2012 and 2014 San Francisco Giants, former Giants reliever, and the current host of Giants pre- and post-game on NBC Sports Bay Area. So a lot of interesting stuff there. I like having guys like George on, just because former pitchers, especially former relievers, they know what guys like Landon Roop, like Ryan Walker, what Logan Webb, he has been in the same kind of battles, on-field battles, as those guys. And I love hearing from pitchers being able to talk about what other pitchers are going through, because who better to talk to in those situations?
What jumped out at you?
Well, I thought, the big thing that jumped out is, again, it's a lot of mental issues right now, especially with Logan Webb and how we all get deflated when Logan Webb has a rough start. But I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, at talking about Landon Roop, he seems very optimistic as well that Roop will be back very, very shortly, that it'll only be the 15-day requirement there. And, you know, yeah, I thought that's why I wanted to get him to share his own experiences when he had elbow inflammation, because it's just, I feel like, again, when you don't play the game, when you're on the outside looking in like we are, Dan, it's so many of these injuries, you don't really know what that really is. Like, what does elbow inflammation even feel like? And I love hearing Contos kind of break it down in terms of just like, the line I thought was really interesting is, it'll feel one way in the bullpen, but then when you take the mound, you get that extra 10% gear, that kind of the adrenaline fires up when you get into the heat of the moment and the competition on the big league mound. It's very different. And I think just for someone like us, we're on the outside looking in. We don't know what it's like to warm up in a bullpen and then walk across the outfield grass and then take the mound on a big league mound in a big league game. We just don't know what that's like. And for a game of baseball that it's such a mental game and how much that dictates the success of a player or not, it's just I like hearing from guys who know what that mentality is like so they can verbalize it to us so we can get some semblance of an idea of what these guys are going through.
What I find fascinating is Hayden Birdsong, and I talked to him about this because I think that's – you want my hot take? You want one that's – you know,
let's go.
One of those guys that's are
you going to get a tinfoil hat here?
Down in your parents' basement with, you haven't talked to anybody in 2.5 weeks and you're locked away.
Dan A. Smith right here.
There's a chance, all right? And again, this is just me. But do not be surprised if you don't see Hayden Birdsong for a very long time. A very long time.
Yeah.
And
next spring,
I mean, even potentially longer than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What do I base this on? The same intel you have.
Just this seems like it could be a thing. Yeah.
And here's why.
I mean, he's 23 years old. So, I mean, it's not like he's an old prospect that you need to get up. He's got a runway to work with.
Sure. But I've only seen that happen a couple of times. And one was Rick Ankiel. And so there are guys that have issues, right? Like what Logan Webb's dealing with. I don't think there's a person that really follows the Giants. Certainly you and I, we not for a moment do we not think that Logan Webb at some point will get through this and be Logan Webb again. But when you're a pitcher and you miss like he did, and it happens and it just... all of a sudden, you could just see the gremlins get into his head.
It's like a totally different pitch all of a sudden.
Like, uh-oh, here we go. When it's mental to that level, and I love what George said, this game is everybody, when you get to this level, you have the physical tools to do it, right? What separates you, and as far as being a major leaguer and a good major leaguer, it's all about your mental approach. Do you have the ability to play every other day? Can you be good in big moments? Can you play in pressure situations?
Can you rise up when this game hits you in the mouth?
And guys react to it differently. If this predates you, I'm telling everybody, just please go Google Rick Ankiel, who is one of the star left-handed hard-throwing pitchers in baseball with the St. Louis Cardinals. I want to say the year was 2000, 2001.
Well, 2010, he had the home run off of Brian Wilson in Game 2 of the NLDS.
He was a converted outfielder at that point.
Hayden Birdsong, future right fielder.
And so the reason why is because in the playoffs, I believe it was against the New York Mets, he threw 5 wild pitches. I'm not talking about wild pitches that you were just like, yeah, it could be a pass ball. No, he hit the backstop on a fly. And you just saw in his head, like, this dude doesn't know how to throw back to the catcher anymore. And eventually, it was the beginning of the end. He switched to right field. I'm just saying, when I saw Hayden Birdsong, I'm like, yikes.
It was the misses. And again, he's still hitting 97. It's not like his stuff is not there. It's just he has no idea where it's going.
I guess my hot take is there is a weird precedence in baseball
for a guy to just lose it.
I read about this. There is a catcher by the name of Mackie Sasser who played with the San Francisco Giants. This happened to him when he was at the New York Mets. He couldn't throw back to the pitcher.
Oh, Rube Baker from Major League 2.
Yeah, he couldn't do it. And Steve Sachs from Sacramento, who was the
famous one. Yeah, he had the yips second
base. He could not throw to first base any longer. So this does happen, and Hayden could be back in a couple of weeks. But when you see a pitcher hit a wall mentally like that, to me, I'm sorry, there are alarms that go off. Like, this is something that I don't just simply think going down in a brief stint in Sacramento, work on some things, and you'll be fine. Because to your point, you can simulate this to a certain degree. We won't know until he crosses that white line, gets onto a mound, because every therapist, psychoanalyst will tell you this. You do not know until you're in that situation again. And he's certainly going to be very aware of it. What's going to happen the next time you're in front of, on that main stage in front of the big lights, and you're trying to clear something that has clearly become this mental obstacle? I find it sort of intriguing as well as fascinating to a certain level as well.
All right, we'll talk about that more on the other side. Also, the future of Landon Roop as well.
We will talk about that more. I feel like I just sort of worn that out, but go ahead.
Oh, we talk about a lot of things on the other side as well. Definitely want to get into what Landon Roop said about his elbow injury as well last night, so we'll talk about that. And then, yeah, Hayden Birdsong, are you still hopeful for his future? I know we're probably still hopeful for Landon Roop's future, but that would really suck if Hayden Birdsong does not pan out that way. So we are blowing through this break. And that is brought to you by Fairmont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.